Well, welcome to Expansion Sunday. Let me start by saying this. If you're visiting us for the first time today, you have landed on the one Sunday a year where we talk about vision for what we're giving for the year. So this isn't a weekly thing, just so that you're aware. This is our annual Vision Sunday around what God has called us to do on behalf of our city. Amazing. Well, at the end of the service, you'll be given a booklet on the way out. And it's our expansion booklet with everything that we've been able to achieve in the last 12 months and everything that we're looking forward to for the next 12. But if you haven't been part of Reside for longer than 10 months, you may not have heard about any of this information before. And so I'm going to cover a couple of brief questions. And the first one is, what is expansion? I think it's we talk about it a lot, but if you haven't heard what it's about, it's not going to mean a lot to you. And so the first thing I'll start by saying, expansion is separate from our tithes giving that we give weekly as a church. What we're committed to is we're committed to seeing the kingdom of God come to the city of Geelong and beyond, amen. And we want to take what God's given us and use that with steward-like practice and behavior. And so it's about God's provision, because it's not us coming up with the provision, amen. I know we've had some testimonies over the past couple of years, testimonies even this year, of it's God's provision for the commission that he's called his church to. Called his church to, amen. And so we choose to gather in unity, and we seek to take responsibility for resourcing kingdom impact in our city and beyond, to resource kingdom mission, to resource taking care of our facilities, all the while prayerfully believing that the gospel is going to advance into the hearts of all mankind. Amen? Anyone with me today?
Yes.
Good. And so the next question that probably needs to be answered is who can partner with expansion? The truth of the matter is anyone can partner with expansion. You don't have to be a member of a local church and have to fill up paperwork. It's open to everybody to choose to partner with the gospel of Jesus Christ going forward. So it's our hope that everybody prayerfully considers what God speaks to them about. And so we're believing that singles and couples and families and kids and teens, first of all, choose to activate prayer. This is something that we invite every single person to prayerfully consider. It's not something that should be frivolous and say, "Oh, I'm going to do something." But seek the heart of God for what he's calling you to do. It's a wholehearted commitment to join in building the kingdom of God, to build God's house, to reach our city and beyond, to be deliverers of love and hope to the people that God's called us to minister to. And I want to encourage you that your commitment is powerful, however you choose to contribute. And I've said this way too many times. It's not about equal giving. And you would have heard me say things before, like it's equal sacrifice. But I want to follow up with this. It's about contributing what God will have you contribute, because it comes from him. You're probably already catching a glimpse. It's like us turning our faith to him. Not what we can do within ourselves, but what his heart wills for us. And your commitment and your stewardship matters. And so every year we have this opportunity to come together as a church and commit to being an active contributor to support three separate areas. The first one is community, the second one is kingdom, and the third one is the responsibility for our facilities. And the first thing I want to do today before we get too much further into it is celebrate what God has done through us in 2025 and 2026, the last 12 months. And we've had some amazing moments in the past 12-month period. Through our community impact, we have directly supported. And this is like hard data. Does anyone else love hard data? the other option to hard data is like made up data. And so we have a whole database set up because we want to track what we're doing within our local community well and not just make up that we're having impact. And so directly we have supported over 5,100 people within our local community and provided them with food relief and health and hygiene products. We've also been able to, the representatives of those families who come here, we've been able to create a community space where they can sit down and build relationships with people from here and also people from their community as well, a connection space. Why have I highlighted that figure? Well, in the previous year before that, we supported 2,829 individuals. And so what it says to me, with everything that's happening within our nation and our state right now, that there is a significant need that people have in their families. There is a crunch on families when it comes to putting food on the table for them and their kids. And we've been able to partner together to see that happen. I think that's worth celebrating. I'm not celebrating that people don't have food to put on the table. I'm celebrating that we get to be the hands and feet of God to support them in that moment. And so as part of that, we were able to give over 8,000 kilos of food, household and hygiene items to individuals, our fellow neighbours, amen, in the city of Geelong and beyond. And I also want to celebrate the 32 volunteers who served our community with 1,580 hours collectively given of volunteer time. And that equates to over $64,000 of groceries given to individuals and families within our city. God's good. And so I want to thank you for choosing to partner with that. The next thing I want to just focus on briefly is our facilities. We were able to pay off our loan in a lump sum, an extra $17,143.86. That's up from the year before from where we were able to put $15,000 towards it. And at the same time, we started our bathroom renovation before. As well. And I want to encourage you that if you've got tiling experience, Neil would love to hear from you. He's been faithfully plugging away, but he would love your support. But it's worth celebrating that because amongst everything that's going on in the world right now, you chose to faithfully commit to take a responsibility for what God has given us. Amen. The next thing I just want to briefly focus on is our kingdom impact, and this includes our missions. Last December, we welcomed over 400 people from our immediate community to come and join us for our Christmas Carols outreach. That's up from around 350 the year before. Our Easter outreach, and I'm not sure if you were here at Easter, but for those of you who were, it's our largest and most effective Easter outreach that we've had in decades. And maybe that was your first one. And you're like, oh, this is normal. It's like brothers and sisters. Like God has done a good work. Amen. For those who've been here for a while, it's like you know exactly what I'm talking about. And we've also been able to support Youth Alive Victoria, reach thousands of teenagers across our state. And this year we were able to partner with Youth Alive Victoria in giving them $4,000 towards. And they just had an amazing Youth Alive rally. The main event happened at Margaret Court Arena, and thousands of young people came along. Thousands of young people heard the gospel. And why do I highlight that? Because we were able to give more money to them this year than we were the year before. Why? Because of your faithfulness to join with Kingdom Impact. I was also able to support a missions worker, Amy's in Japan, the second least reached nation in the world for Christ. And she is in a township that has less than 1% of people who know Jesus personally. And we're supporting her with $300 monthly. And she is faithfully serving the Lord, reaching out to people in her city. And this is an exciting one. We've also been able to support Jeff. Does everyone know Jeff? Jeff, put your hand up, brother. Stand up. so people can see you, Jeff. Yeah, you can sit down now. I don't want to embarrass you. we're able to support Jeff, and I'm going to be real vague about what Jeff is doing for a very specific reason. Jeff is going to a Southeast Asian country to minister. It's a country that isn't exactly open to the gospel, and he's going over there to minister. Three of his friends and a church representative within the country are pulling together a camp, and they're going to be ministering to around 100 or so people at this camp. And so we are sending Jeff as a representative of Reside, and we're partnering with him financially through our missions, because he is going to a place that traditionally is very oppressive for Christians. And we're believing with him that people are going to be ministered to, trained, evangelized, taught how to be evangelists in their own country. And what a joy and honor for us to partner with sending someone to go and do that. Amen? Amen. And so in the last year, we had around 65 of us choose to commit to be part of expansion. And the total to date, this total is probably now irrelevant because it was a week ago, and because I know that some people have partnered in the last week. So the figure that I've got here is $91,150.63. But I know it's probably an extra $2,000 at least from when I got this figure. But I want to celebrate the fact that God has provided to each of us who have partnered. That amount of money isn't us doing that in our own strength. That's God actually moving through us. Amen? And I think that's worth celebrating. And so this is where I want to bring us to today. I want to remind you, I reminded the prayer meeting this morning, why do we do this? Because we are convinced that Jesus is the answer. We are convinced that he put his church here on planet Earth to take the gospel forward, that people may know Jesus personally, amen. They may know God the Father. And so the declaration that we have over expansion for the next 12 months is we have a heart to build, a heart to build. And I want to encourage you, it's not a heart to build our own kingdom, it's a heart to build the kingdom of God, amen. A heart to join God in the mission that he's put before us. And so on the 21st of July, I was praying, I was listening, I was preparing for our all-in serving team rally. It's a night where all of our teams come together and we just seek God and impart into our teams. And I shared a message on not being tied to the old ways because God's doing a new thing. It was out of Isaiah 43, and just encouraging our teams to embrace what God is doing right now in this season. But in the middle of my preparation, I got this word on my heart from Nehemiah 4. And I shared it on the night. And it was around not being afraid of opposition and being people who fight for our families, for our sons and our daughters and our spouses and our homes. But I couldn't shake that there was more in it for us. And I just sort of like left it there and just waited to hear from God. And this message from Nehemiah is calling people to build. It's like God called them to build city walls and fight for their families. We're not called to build walls, amen. We're called to build the kingdom of God. But individually, Bevan felt God speak to him also out of Nehemiah 4, specifically that we're called to have a heart to build. And this passage of scripture that we're going to be focusing on a little bit over the next 12 months is Nehemiah 4:6. It says, "So we rebuilt the wall until it reached half of its height, for the people worked with all of their heart." They built with all of their heart. And we're going to look at some passages in Nehemiah 4, chapter 4 through to chapter 6. Don't worry, we're not going to read them all because we want to have lunch today, amen. But we are called to see and join God to see the kingdom of heaven built. You know, in some of you may be familiar with this scripture, but it says in 1 Peter 2 verse 5, says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And so my encouragement for you is to understand that we are the living stones that God is building the kingdom with. And who knows that to see a building finished, you need to have enough stones to finish it. Amen? And so my encouragement to you is this. In our city, there are tons of stones that need to be brought back to life. Need to be brought back to life for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God. And we know it's God who builds his church, but I want you to keep in mind that he uses people on earth to be his hands and feet to accomplish what he wants to do. The kingdom of God grows through people getting saved. When people are added to the kingdom advances, it grows, it expands. And this is the commission and purpose of the local church. Amen? Amen. And so this is our heart cry. This is the desire of my heart, that there is an overflow of salvation in our city, that people don't know him, that people are separated from him, that people are living in the hardest of times, have their sin forgiven and be restored back to the Father. I don't know if that's anybody else's heart for our city. And so our rally cry that we're leaning into for this next 12 months is we have a heart to build. We have a heart to build. And so what are we believing for this year in community? Well, in the community impact area, we're believing that through our partnership with Gateway Stronger Communities that we know that we're going to have to support probably over 6,000 individuals within the next 12 months. And we want to make sure that our community impact continues. Why? Because we want to make sure that our community knows that we're continuing to support them with the love of God, that we want to see our community built with the love of God, that in the middle of people's challenges, that we're here to care for them and love them in the same way that God loved us. In our kingdom expansion, our evangelism and outreach, we're committed to seeing our Christmas outreach, our Easter outreach, our missions, our evangelism grow. What do I mean by that? Us activated and doing what God has called us to do in those areas. And that's both collectively and personally. You know, if you have a heart to evangelize people, we want to encourage you and support you in that this year. And there's some more information that's going to be coming with that. But we're believing that over 450 people from our community come and hear the good news of Jesus at Christmas. We're believing that over 350 people will come to our weekend services. Yeah, to be honest, I'm believing for much more than that. But let's just start somewhere, man. We're going to continue supporting Amy with our missions in Japan as she reaches the people of Nagasaki. We're going to continue to support people who are going out and saying, I'm going to plant churches. Let me tell you, when someone lets me know they're going to plant a church, I'm like, we'll support you. I don't even think about it. I think about it afterwards. Oh, perhaps I should have asked first. But it's like, yes, we'll support that. We're going to continue to support Youth Love Victoria. They are our longest-term mission partner. I think when the church started, we were already supporting what was happening like with Youth Love, because they started in 1984 and so did we, right? So we're going to continue supporting Compassion through sponsoring these young children who aren't so young anymore. We've got some photos sent through. I'm like, oh, they're not so young anymore. We're going to continue to support evangelizing at Geelong and abroad as well. But we're also going to support for each of us to represent Jesus in our neighborhoods and our communities and our workplaces and our schools and our universities. We just want to encourage you that there is a kingdom impact to be had in the areas that God has called you to. And it reaches beyond these four walls. It reaches beyond your home. It reaches to the hearts of every single individual in our city and beyond. In our facilities impact, we're going to continue to take care of what God's given us. Who believes it's really important to steward what God gives you? I don't know about you, but I remember when I was a young person, I was renting a house. And anyone like rent a house and not look after it like it was their own? Is that just me? You know, there's something to be said for when you look after what God gives you. And I want to encourage you, if you you might find yourself in a place where you're renting soon, there's a heart's desire to own. I want to encourage you, look after what you've got like it's yours. And this church, you're like, oh, I just come to this church. No, this church is ours. God has given it to us, and we're going to look after it and take care of it. And so we're going to continue to make sure that what God wants us to do right now, we're accomplishing. We're going to continue to make sure that for the future generations to come, that they've got something to work with because we've stewarded what God's given us now. And why are we able to have what we've got now? Because the generations that came before us took care of us in the future, and we're going to do the same. And we're going to take care of the properties. We're going to make sure that there's spaces on our properties. We're going to make sure that our bathroom renovation is complete for the women. Amen. Amen. Bevan wanted me to communicate this, but we have had some significant challenges and obstacles when it comes to our bathroom renovation. It's not that we've been sitting around having lattes. Neil's been having tea. No, we've been really committed to it, but we've had significant challenges, and we just wanted to pass it on. But Neil and Phil and Matt have been doing their absolute best, and some of the other volunteers coming in from time to time. But we're also committed to lowering our church loan. We're committed to lowering our church loan so that we can do what God wants us to do next. I want to be very clear in saying that. It's not about just getting rid of a loan, because then it's like, oh, we don't need to worry about things anymore. Now, that would be very unvisionary. God has called us to accomplish things within our city, and we want to make sure that we're ready for it at the right time. For those of you who have been with us for a short time, we have used wisdom and unrelenting focus to make sure that we're exercising faithfulness over our church loan. For those of you who have come to our AGMs, you would have heard, you know, how diligent we've been. But I wanted to convey to you, like, we're not wandering through the year going, I hope things work out. No, we're always like, how can we make sure we take care of this in a better way? Our long-term projects that need to be expedited. Our long-term projects that now can't be long-term projects. Our main roof needs replacing last year. And the cost of that is going to be somewhere around $120,000. Can I encourage you, and these scriptures that I'm about to read into will help you. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of that. Because it's God's heart that we take care of what he's given us, and he will open up doors and pathways that we can't see. And don't be overwhelmed. Don't be like, oh, well, I can't help with that. We are still committed also to seeing a larger kids space, which will give us a larger foyer and cafe area. Anyone here last week? It's like, yeah, we need a larger cafe and foyer area. And so we just believe that this is necessary to make sure that we continue to minister kids and families in the way that God's called us to do. And so how can each of us partner with expansion? Well, over the next couple of weeks, we would love you just to prayerfully consider what God speaks to your heart. In the past, we've had a specific number of people join in and help with the expansion, but and we would always put a number out there of how many people we wanted to partner. This year, we haven't done that. I felt God speak to me clearly. It's like, you're putting a cap on it. You're saying that you want this amount of people to partner, but there's like double the amount of people in the church. And I want to encourage you that maybe if you've looked at that in the past and said, oh, they only want this amount of people to partner, that means I don't need to worry about it. No, that was a faith goal for us because it was more than the year before. But I felt God speak to me clean. It's like, you're capping what I'm trying to do in the hearts of individuals to join. And the encouragement to me was, don't help people disengage. And so we were to help us as a church engage. And so it's my heart that if God is speaking you to join him with a heart to build. Maybe you might be thinking, and I remember being a younger person, I don't have anything to give. I've got $5 a week that I could give. Let me tell you, is anyone like maths? couple of people like it. Bevan loves maths. I love what you guys love. So if you love maths, I love it too. If there's 30 people in our church who haven't joined with Expansion in the last 12, 24 months, and each of those 30 people was to give $5 a week, doesn't sound like much, right? It's an extra $8,000 a year. And so you're like, I've only got $5 a week. Let me tell you what God can do with that. God moves when there's faith. And I'm not going to push hard on that. I'm just sharing what God's spoken to me about. And on the last page of our booklet that you get today, there's just some further information about how to contribute and how to be involved and how to prayerfully consider that. But over the coming weeks, if you can record your commitment on the card that you'll get this morning, and then we're going to have our expansion commitment Sunday on the 13th of September during our Sunday service. But let me say this. We're not here to build a building. Let's just be super clear on that. We are not here to build a building. We're here to reach a city for Jesus. And we're building generationally. We're not being short-term focused. We're not only being long-term focused. We're like, God, whatever you want to do now, whatever you're doing for the future, we're here for it. And we're building because God wants to expand his building, the body of Christ. And so to all these things we say, we've got a heart to build. And let's just look at Nehemiah briefly. There's some key things that I need to share with you today around Nehemiah, because anyone who's familiar with the passage in chapter 4 through to chapter 6 will note that he didn't have an easy go of it. Has anyone read this before? He didn't have an easy go of it. It was really hard, continued opposition from outside, opposition from inside, just a really difficult moment. And we pick up in chapter 4 that there was this opposition to rebuilding. The people who were lording over God's people, were controlling them, being negative, there was a significant opposition to what God was trying to do. And the first point I want to bring up today is this, if you're taking notes, is that number one, perseverance under external opposition and internal discouragement. Over the next 12 months, I'm sure that there are moments when each of us will be like this. There's opposition coming from outside, whether it's workplaces, people around you, there's specific opposition, specific challenge. It could be from within. It could be from within your own family. It could be from within your own church, where you're coming with faith-filled words and you're sitting next to someone, they're like, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what God does. I want to encourage you that that God has called us to have perseverance even when there's opposition. This is what it says from chapter 4 through to chapter 4, 4 to 6. Hear us, O God. Not on the screen. For we are despised. Turn the insults back on their own heads. Give them over to the plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight. For you have thrown insults in the face of the builders. And this is what I want to focus on, verse 6. In spite of opposition, in spite of challenge, in spite of people coming against them, verse 6, so we rebuilt the wall till it had reached half of its height, for the people worked with all their heart. So we catch a glimpse of Nehemiah and the people going about what God had called them to. Opposition? Yes. Challenges? Yes. Internal challenges? Absolutely. But they knew what God had called them to do. My encouragement this year, we know what God's called us to do. We just need to stay faithful to it. It's bold in the face of discouragement, in the face of opposition. It's bold in the face of accusatory behavior. It's bold and committed and persevering to what God's called us to. Let me tell you, the enemy hates it when God's people set their faces toward God's will. Enemy hates it. Next one, because we're short of time. Second point, prayer powered with practical action and wise defense. Prayer paired with practical action and wise defense. we take note in verse 7 here that when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs of Jerusalem's wall had gone ahead and the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. When God moves, the enemy gets angry. And so the encouragement is that in verse 8, they plotted to come together and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. Verse 9, but we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. And so often when opposition comes, when we say, this is what we're going to do, this is what God has called us to do, and people are like, eh, maybe. Are you sure about that? Sure your pastor's just not hallucinating? Like, when people get negative, don't get angry at them. Don't take them to task. Instead, but we prayed to our God and we posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Can I encourage you? God has called you to be guards of the vision that he gives us, not to fight against people, but to stand in the gap and say, no, we believe. We believe that what God has said is going to happen, God will bring to pass. Jumping further forward to verse 14, it says, after I looked things over and stood up and said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives and your homes. And what God has called us to do, we're fighting for people to be added to the kingdom. We're fighting for our kids to come back, to know Jesus personally. We're fighting to keep our homes united under Christ. Amen. Maybe you find yourself in a season of, it looks like everything's just, my family's falling apart. My relationship is struggling. My kids are off doing their own thing. Can I encourage you? Lean into prayer. Lean into prayer. Don't get angry at them. Don't try and convince them that they need to come back to the Lord. Anyone ever have one of their parents trying to convince you to come back to the Lord? Anyone? Not putting your hand up because your parents here? Yeah, okay. let me tell you, let the Holy Spirit do his work. Let the Holy Spirit minister hearts. Should you pray for your kids and your family? Absolutely you should. Should you petition the Lord and say, God, move in? Yes, absolutely you should. But my encouragement is, in the face of the opposition, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. See, during the season, we're called not to lose heart. We're called to not be swayed, whether that be negativity from outside or murmuring from within. Where we turn to prayer. I want to encourage you there. When situations arise, turn to prayer. Turn to God, turn to prayer. When the plot's being stirred from the outside, when negativity is felt and all it looks like all is lost, turn to the Lord. Nehemiah shows us that when God's spoken and opposition begins roaring, we need to turn our posture towards him in prayer. You know, let's push a little bit further. When things happen in your week, I want to encourage you. It's time to start turning to prayer. You know, something happened this week with one of the pastors in our church. I've got a really sick family member, and as I was sitting at my desk, I was just like, all I can do is pray. It's so big that it's like, all I can do is pray. So I grabbed the other pastors. I'm like, let's pray. Sometimes all we can do is pray. And sometimes the opposition is so big that it's like we forget that all we can do is pray. I just want to remind us, sometimes all we can do is pray. Let's move forward to number 3. Justice within the community is essential to God's work. We catch this glimpse of Nehemiah just being just a humble person. He walked in humility. He wasn't in it for himself. For those of you who are aware of this passage of scripture, for 12 years he worked for the people who employed him, and he didn't take any money, he didn't take any food, he just faithfully believed that God had called him to do what he was meant to do. during that time, he didn't, for his own gain, he didn't buy blocks of land. He didn't buy buildings. He just faithfully worked what God has called him to do. Now, you might be, you're sitting there like, are you telling us that we shouldn't get investments? That's not what I'm saying at all. I believe that we should plan for our future and we should plan for our kids and we should do what God calls us to do. The point being here is he didn't want to make money off of his own people. This is the point of this passage of Scripture. And I encourage you, within the body of Christ, we need to be united for the same thing. We shouldn't be looking to the people on the left or the right of us to get personal selfish gain. Does that make sense? Anyone old enough to remember when lots of people in churches used to like do Avon? Everyone remember that? And like you'd have to like run to your car not to get like... Does anyone remember it? I mean, I was young at the time, but I remember it's like, we got to go now, kids, like quick. Avon calling, yeah. None of those things aren't bad, right? But we shouldn't be looking to the people on the left and the right of us for selfish gain. Let's look to God. Let's take our businesses to the world, but when we're here, we're united for one thing. And it's to see the kingdom of God expanded. One of the other things that we pick up in this passage of Scripture is that Nehemiah pulled up the people. They weren't looking after each other. They were making life hard for their brothers and sisters in the Lord. And Nehemiah pulls them up and he's like, we need to act justly towards each other. We need to care for each other, not put people under duress and challenge. And so we must be a people who seek justice and care for all, not just outside of the four walls, but also the people that we're called to do life with as well. The same care we take for our community through stronger communities is the same care we're called to take for each other as well. That's my encouragement to you today. If we're building with all of our heart, then we need to care and minister and love each other in the same way. May we be a people that carry the same heart as Nehemiah. He desired to be remembered by God. He wasn't interested in being remembered by anyone else except God. And this is what he says in Nehemiah 5:19. Remember me with favor, my God, for all I have done for these people. Not interested in grandstanding himself. It's like, God, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for the people. Just remember me with favor. See, in every season, in every generation, may our effort for growing the kingdom of God line up with the same heart that Nehemiah had. We're called to act justly and care for the poor and downtrodden whilst fulfilling the mission of God. Amen. Nehemiah describes it in verse 16. He says it like this. Instead, I devoted myself to the work on this wall. All my men were assembled there for the work. We did not acquire any land. We're here for what God has called us to do in this season. The last two things I want us to focus on before we finish up today is this. Number four was integrity in leadership in the face of intimidation and slander. And the fifth one is God's evident provision leads to the completion and it's a witness to the nations. Nehemiah carried himself with integrity in the most challenging of times. To be honest, I'm not sure like if God had called me to do it, Nehemiah, and it's like, man, this is like I'm rebuilding the walls to a city that these people have torn down. And I'm going to them saying, can we do this? Will you give us permission to do this? Carried himself with integrity, led the people at the same time. And I want to encourage you. It's in this season that we're in, I feel a greater mandate than I've ever felt to lead us as a church in what God's calling us to do, to build the kingdom of God. And I want to encourage you, it's my heart that I do that with wisdom and integrity. It's my heart that each of us carry wisdom and integrity in the way that we stand up for Jesus in the world that he's called us to. That we exemplify in our behaviors and our practices, our ethics, our heart for the kingdom and our heart for others. May it be a direct reflection of the integrity of Christ. And I pray that that challenges your heart today. It challenges my heart. That in every area of our lives, and I know we don't talk about ethics very much in church life, but the way you carry yourself in the places that God has called you to be, it matters. Let's not get angry at Isaac when you're going through the McDonald's drive-thru. Amen, brother? I'm not saying that because he's come to me with someone from church has done that. It's just an example. But the way we carry ourselves in our best of times and our worst of times, it matters. You know who it really matters for? Our spouses and our kids too. The way we carry ourselves, it matters. The example that we give to people in our workplace, it really matters. Are we ethical? So we can talk about being godly, but are we leaning into cheating on some things within the workplace? I won't talk any further, but you get my heart. Let's have integrity like Nehemiah. Let's remove ourselves from selfish gain. See, may we be true to this calling with our family, with our friends, our kids, our colleagues, our city. May we live a life that's sold out to serve the kingdom. May we be known as those who see the providence of God, and may it be revealed for his glory alone. Now, in this season of time, we've got plans, we've got vision, we've got a heart for what God's called us to do. And I want to remind you that the schemes of the enemy are still at play. Just like it was through chapters 4-6, the schemes of the enemy were still at play. The enemy was still accusing. The enemy was still trying to bring harm. The enemy always tries to frighten and overwhelm. I want to encourage you, you carry the power of God within you. If you know Jesus personally, you carry power and authority from God himself. He hasn't given you a spirit of fear. Will those things that come up in front of you frighten you? Will they overwhelm you? There may be that first response, and we should process the emotions that go with that, but we can't stay there. We need to turn to him, and we need to turn to him with, God, I need your encouragement right now. This is overwhelming. Strengthen me. May I take heart in this moment. This is what happened to Nehemiah. We look in chapter 6, verse 9. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. Nehemiah's like, but I prayed. Now strengthen my hands. Whatever's been brought against you, pray directly for that. You have strength and power in that moment. Whether it's your state of mind, your peace of mind, the peace within your family, the job that you have, people are like, oh, if you keep going down this track, it's like, God, I pray for that. May it be strengthened. May I be solid. May I follow through on what you've called me to do. Your challenges are present because you are choosing to build for the Lord. The enemy doesn't challenge people who aren't choosing to build for the Lord. So I don't need to. They're sitting. They're not activated. As soon as you activate, I guarantee you there will be opposition. And I say that not to have it feel overwhelming. I say that to prepare you. Be ready. Be ready to turn to God in prayer. Be ready to turn to him for help. See, when we choose to put our faith to God and we turn to him in prayer. Chapter 6, verse 16. When all the enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized this work had been done with the help of our God. Who are we wanting to be afraid and lose confidence? It's the enemy. It's the devil. It's the spiritual principalities and powers. We want them to see what God accomplishes through us. And they're like, it didn't work. It didn't work. The people followed through on what God had called them to do. We are here for God's mission. We are here for God's will, and we have confidence and faith that He will use us to accomplish the will of God. Does that minister to anyone today? My heart cries this: use us to build. Prepare the way for us, Lord, for salvation, for spaces, for evangelism, for mission, for missionaries, for evangelism, for both now and into the future. For all these things we say, we have a heart to build. We've got a heart to build, amen. And so I know we've gone a little bit over time today, but it's important for us to grab hold of what God wants us to do for this coming 12 months and beyond. And I want to encourage you, just as you take your booklet today, just allow it to go over and over in your spirit. Just allow God to minister to you. And I know that I've talked a lot about God's love for all people. I've talked a lot about salvation. I've talked a lot about that God wants all people to be restored back to Him. But let me explain it a little bit further, because maybe you're here for the first time today and you don't know Jesus personally. I think it's important that you hear this. It would be remiss of me just to let the moment go. Now, God loved the world so much that He sent His one and only Son. And He sent His Son to the cross to take on the sin of the world. And everyone thought it was over. Everyone thought it was done. Jesus got put into the grave and it's like, it's really over. But then 3 days later, He rose from the dead. The power of God revived Him, restored Him back to the life. What happened when He went to the grave? He took the sin of the world. He took your sin. He took my sin. So that no longer we'll be condemned, but we'll be known by God personally, restored into a relationship with Him. See, this is the objective. This is the whole point of the church existing on planet Earth, to give every single person the opportunity to respond to Jesus' love, to respond to God's love, to have sin forgiven and be known personally by God the Father. And I want to give you the opportunity today, because if you've been walking your own way, you know that life's hard. It's hard to have hope for the future. It's hard to carry joy in your heart when there's nothing residing within you. When God comes in us, His joy resides in us. His hope resides in us. Jesus resides in us. And so if we can all close our eyes just for a moment, it's just to give some space for people to respond today. If you've heard what I've said about God's forgiveness and God's love, I've been forgiven of sin and knowing Him personally, I want to give you the opportunity to respond to that today. And it's as simple as this: the scriptures say, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And we're going to have an opportunity to pray a prayer and confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus so that we can know Him personally. So if that's you today, in a moment I'm going to ask you to put your hand up and you can put it straight back down. But if that's you today, on the count of three, if you can put your hand up and say, yeah, I want Jesus. 1, 2, 3. Is there anyone say, yeah, I want to know Him personally. I want to be known, forgiven, be a son and daughter of God. Anyone say, yeah, that's me. Don't let this moment pass you by. Don't keep trying to do life by yourself. Do life alone. God's heart is for you, not against you. It doesn't come to condemn you. In fact, he comes to remove shame, remove condemnation when you respond to Him. Anyone say, yeah, that's me today. We're going to pray a prayer today. It's a prayer of salvation. If you're watching online, this is for you as well. But to church, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. And if you're praying this for the first time, you're praying because you know you need to get back with God. Let's pray this nice and loud. Dear God, I thank You that You sent Jesus. I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that You raised Jesus on the third day for the forgiveness of my sins. I repent of my sin I choose to follow you for all the days of my life. You're my God. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.